Hello, folks. I'd like to first introduce the staff of the Communications Department, those that are here. Don Enright is the art director. Bern Thompson is the assistant editor of the log, and my assistant, he's from New Zealand. Ray King is from Illinois. He's a writer, photographer, and our publicity director. Sito Wing Luck from Singapore, writer and photographer, trainee, and the editor of the Singapore Nav News. Anne Hulsker, my secretary, is gone today. She's from Great Britain. We have another girl coming in tomorrow morning from Kenya who is an Indian named Kulsum. Don't know her last name. I can't pronounce it yet. She will be secretary for a few months for us. It looks like in the spring, Paul Hensley, who's a NAV rep in Malaysia, will be coming with us to be my assistant for an indefinite period of time. And then possibly a movie producer and audiovisual expert from Kenya will be coming either in the summer or next fall to join our staff. Before I get into the description of what the Communications Department is all about, I'd like for our three writers to each say a few words. First, Bern Thompson will speak on some scriptural applications of communications. Then Ray King on the value of radio in communications. And Sito Wing Luck on a periodical and its value to the Navigator Ministry. Then I'll wrap it up.
What is the value of communications? That's probably a question that you've asked yourself from time to time. And because we work in communications, it's a question that we have to often answer. According to the dictionary, to communicate means to transmit, to impart, to share. Whenever I think about audiovisual or printed communications, I think first of all about communicating news, information, and ideas. But the field is really wider than that. Everybody is a communicator. The way we dress, how we speak or write, and even perhaps our unseen thoughts are all kinds of communications, perhaps consciously, perhaps unconsciously. These communications can either be direct, planned communications, or spontaneous and informal. And as I mentioned, sometimes even unconscious things. People notice things that we do, the way we smile at them or fail to smile at them, and all of those things can be communications just as much as a telephone call or a daily newspaper or a television news broadcast. But what is the value of communications? Do they have any value? Are they really worth the effort? All of us, first of all, are communicators on the level of personal relationships. Have you ever asked yourself the question, how can we practice our belief as navigators in the worth of every individual? Well, one of the simplest ways is just to listen very carefully to what someone else is saying. That's part of communication. In turn, the way that we talk to others conveys an impression of the kind of respect that we have, or perhaps that we fail to show, to another individual. So if we practice the worth of every individual, that belief ought to be reflected in our choice of words, even our tone of voice, and the content of our conversation. So perhaps the first and greatest value of effective communication is that it can create meaningful and satisfying interpersonal relationships. And for those of us that are involved in a disciple-making ministry like the Navigators, that's a very basic element of our lives. You know, Paul was a great Christian communicator. All of us here in the room today still read his letters with the same enthusiasm that they were first read to first century Christian congregations. Paul even had his own team of communicators. This is what he said once. writing to some friends of his, he said, "You will hear all about my affairs from Tychicus, our dear brother and trustworthy helper and fellow servant in the Lord's work. I am sending him to you on purpose to let you know all about us and to put fresh heart into you. With him comes Onesimus, our trustworthy and dear brother, who is one of yourselves. They will tell you all the news here." So you see, Paul knew that these men could be counted on to communicate news, information, and spiritual encouragement to the Colossian Christians on his behalf. For those of us in communications with the navigators, that is what gives communications its real value. An international team like the Navigators Worldwide staff cannot function effectively without up-to-date, accurate news and information, both from within the organization and from without. So as that is shared through all kinds of media, people, telephone calls, cables, letters, news bulletins, reports, magazines, radio programs, multimedia presentations, there will be many results. Primarily, a team identity and unity is built and reinforced through communications. What can be of greater value than that? Then as a result of news, information, and encouragement, our vision of what God has called us to do will grow. So you see, communications are of great value in perpetuating and sharing our vision.
The main thing I want to share about today is just the radio programs as they fit into our total communications program, because I think they show what we want to do in a lot of other ways. Just a couple of years ago, one time, Paul Ramsier, who is with KTIS Radio in Minneapolis, Minnesota, happened to meet Leroy Imes at a conference. And he talked to Leroy about doing a series of 13 four-minute radio broadcasts. So Leroy came back and got together with Ken Metzger, and they put these together. And they were finally sent to radio stations in May and June of 1973. We started getting letters from listeners in October of 73, and so the response was good enough that Leroy decided to do three more series like these. And the first of these three series, our second series, was released in August this year. And in fact, 54 stations have asked to have these series. Some said, "Well, we didn't get the first one. We'd like you to send us that one too." Some of them said, "We want 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll take anything you can give us." And to date, mostly from the first series of radio programs, we've received 112 letters from people, from pastors, laymen, who said, "Well, we want the material you requested," or, "I've got a problem. Could you give me some advice?" And some of the pastors wrote in, a lot of the requests had to do with the TMS, scripture memory. Some pastors said, "Well, we need to get scripture memory growing in our church. Could you please send me your TMS material, see if we can't use that?" And I ran into this one letter. It strikes me because I see a kind of desire that I don't have in my own life. Here's a lady that writes in. She's been distributing gospel tracts in the streets. She's been trying to work personally with people. And she writes to Leroy, she says, "Please send your book about meditation that you spoke about on the radio, and also the names of any books you've written." It says, "I have been distributing these tracts now, working for 25 years, and I don't see the fruits of my labor, and I'm a bit discouraged." But she's still out there trying after 25 years. And I think this is the kind of desire we see in the people that we hear from. I think another illustration I ran onto last year of the value of this kind of communication, if you may have read in the January log this year about Jim Morris and his work in Wichita, Kansas, with businessmen and people like that. Well, Jim became a Christian in 1952. He started reading through the Bible. He read through the New Testament once a month for the first year that he was a Christian. He was trying to find ways to become effective. Sometimes he was frustrated. Sometimes he got involved in counseling for Billy Graham. And then in 1956, he'd been listening to Back to the Bible radio broadcasts every day. He was listening to the Hour of Decision with Billy Graham once a week. And shortly after Doss died, he heard Billy talk about Doss. And this really, he heard about some things about a man of God that he thought maybe would have had something to offer him. He heard about the Navigators. And then after that, on back to the Bible, he heard Lauren speak on the art of personal witnessing. And he thought, boy, I like the way he uses Scripture practically. And so in October of 1956, there was a Back to the Bible annual conference in Lincoln, Nebraska, and Jim drove up from Wichita to be there because he heard that the Navigators would be there. And he heard Lauren speak. He talked to Leroy. Leroy challenged him on Scripture memory. And so he went home. He started memorizing Scripture. 10 months later, he came out here to the Glen for a conference. And so that was the way he used materials. He would go to conferences whenever he could. Sometimes the Navigator would stop through town to encourage him and give him a little bit of advice. And today in Kansas, well, there are disciple makers throughout Kansas because of Jim Morris. One of his guys recently moved to western Kansas where he's a banker and where he's working to raise up disciples there and eventually make disciples and make disciple makers. And in Kansas City, you'll find three or four guys that Jim has worked with. You go to Ottawa, you go down to Oklahoma City. Dallas Theological Seminary has a man there now. And you go to Wichita, he's got a team of over 20 men who all are disciples or disciple makers who are working personally with at least one person. And some of them are working with four or five people personally. They're active in church. They teach Sunday school. They have a good relationship with the churches. So the churches are saying, well, say, could you send one of your guys over to help us? Hundreds of people in Wichita have been affected, have grown in some way, just because of Jim's ministry. And it all started back when he was listening to the radio. And he said, there's something I want. And I think this is what we want to do, not just through radio. We try to do it through magazines, through newspapers, publicity, radio, television, films. We can put something there that will cause somebody to ask for more information, to ask for help. The letters that, like this letter and the others that we've been receiving, you know, it takes a lot of effort to write in to a radio station, write into the Navigators who you don't know about, say, I really want some help, or could you send me some information? And yet we see people that really are hungry. They really do want help. This kind of desire that Jim had, this kind of desire that says, that I've been trying for 25 years, but I'm getting a little discouraged. And I believe throughout the world there are people like this that just need one of the practical helps we have to offer. Just a little bit of encouragement, or maybe just to know that there's help available where they can go and get it. And I believe that we can see this really further the ministry the Navigators have. Thanks.
I would like to share with you today a little experiment in communications that we did in Singapore, which changed my life and my thinking about communications, and also changed the thinking of the whole Singapore Navigators about communications. Well, in early 1973, Dave Dawson, who is the director of Singapore Navigators, felt that we needed a kind of newspaper. And the reason was that the Navigators were growing so fast that the pastors and other organizations began to notice a lot of people carrying verse packs and notebooks. And they were asking, who are these people sitting in my church? And so Dave Dawson and felt that we need some kind of communications. And the reason why I took the job was because I had a great interest in writing. And I had no idea at all that I'd be coming to the States and getting training in communications. And so we started with very little funds and experience. And this is the first Singapore Nav News that came out in May 1973. And this is the man, Roy Robertson, who started the Navigators in Singapore. And so every month we had a newsletter like this, telling people what is happening in Navigators Singapore. And after 5 months, the Lord really blessed the experiment. We received a lot of letters from people, And I wish I had those letters here to read them to you, but for example, we had letters from pastors. And one pastor said, I do not want a copy for myself, I want a copy for the people in my church, and I want a copy to put up in my bulletin board, because I'm very excited about what is happening in the Navigators. And then another exciting letter that I received was a letter from someone who has read the Nav News, and he sent in $500 and said, you can do whatever you want with the $500 for the Nav News. And that was how I got my first camera. I started without a camera. And another letter was from a girl. Now, in Singapore, many students do not live in Singapore. They come there to study, and then they go back home to Malaysia. And they bring people to Christ, and some of these people live in small villages where they do not even have a church. And this girl wrote to me and said that ever since I received the Nav News, I got the vision once again. She received Christ, she met somebody in a big town who was a navigator, and then she went back into a small village. And she said, I lost all fellowship with other Christians. There's no church in my village. And every month, I just look forward to the Nav News, because it shows to me what I can do in my small village. And then another letter that I received was from a person who has been giving to the Navigators for many years. And he said that I have began to think about what my money, what you are doing with my money. And with the Nav News, now I know. And he says, thank you for the Nav News because it reminds me to send in my gift at the end of each month. And so we saw that what started as a small newspaper to tell what people, what we are doing, was having very far-reaching and important effects. And so 5 months after that, we expanded the Nav News to this size and put in a daily prayer guide for people to pray. And of course, with the new expansion again, we got letters telling us to increase the pages. And so the latest change is this. This is the latest Nav News, and we increase it from four pages to 6 pages. And 2 pages is devoted to the how to live the Christian life. And I do not have any reaction to that yet. I think, and then one very exciting thing is that the Nav News started with 400 copies in circulation, and people wrote in to ask for more, so it went up to 700. And then after a big conference that we had, people asked for more Nav News, and it went to 1,300. And right now the circulation is 1,800 people. And every month we still receive letters asking for Nav News. And at the end of 1 year of the Singapore Nav News, Dave Dawson and the staff and I myself realize how important communications is. And we had all kinds of plans to make a film strip about Singapore, to make slides, presentation. And Dave Dawson said, what you need now is more training. You've got a camera, now you need training how to use it. And so that's what I'm doing here in the States, to get training. And just before I came to the States, I was just asking the Lord. Now, I know that from my experience that communication is not an easy thing. You need to give your life to it. And a lot of work needs to be done to put up a 6-page small newspaper like this. And I say, Lord, do you want me to give my life to this? And there are two things that the Lord showed me. First is that every time I write a story, I'm sharing the Nav vision and what God is doing to 1,800 people, which I'm not able to do without the Nav News. And then I was looking for a verse, like every good navigator. Lord, give me a verse so that I can go to the States with peace in my heart. And I looked and looked, and the Lord did not give me a verse. And finally, I was reading, and then in Luke 1, it says, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, it says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus. And all of a sudden, God told me that you are just like Luke. Your job is to compile, to investigate, Because you are an eyewitness of all that I am doing in Singapore. And I want you to compile it and to share it with all the theophilists in the world so that they might know what I am doing. Thank you.
I think you can see that we believe in communications. We really do. And we're giving our lives to it. But everyone doesn't believe that. We have the opportunity, because we travel all over the world, to meet other staff and people interested in the navigators from other cultures. And we are not in the direct, quote, ministry, quote. And therefore, we're kind of looked upon with scorn sometimes, or gee whiz, you didn't quite make it, did you? So you're just a writer now. You've all heard the story of Ray Ho, who worked in the West Indies for a banana company, and his boss said, "Are you willing to give your life to bananas?" And Ray said no, so he left, and now he's working with the navigators. Recently I was in England, and I was talking to a young nav rep who is coming onto the staff soon, a young Englishman. And I was talking to him just like these men have been talking to you about communications and how we're giving ourselves to it. And he scoffed me and he says, "I wouldn't give my life to bananas like you are." And I thought of all of you people sitting here in this room working at the international headquarters who are giving your lives to bananas, right? Art, finances, advertising, shipping, secretaries, Lauren Sani, just the president of the navigators. You know, he's in management. So I had a long talk with this young man. It is important what we're doing and what you're doing. Howie Hendricks, whom you've all heard of, in 1972 in Oslo, spoke at the EMMA staff conference, and he said this: every time you organize, okay, we've just organized a new department. Every time you organize, does it lead to an increasing of the Word of God and the multiplying of disciples? So we must ask ourselves, is the communications department going to lead to an increasing of the Word and a multiplying of disciples? Secondly, he says, does it lead to the releasing of a man or men to do what God has called them to do? We must answer that question. Thirdly, does it harness the gifts and talents of those in the body of Christ? If it does, then you have New Testament organization. Now, I feel that our department has New Testament organization. Multiplying disciples. Are we doing it? I was in the Orient a couple of years ago in a room full of young, eager disciple makers, just answering questions about my job. And one of the young men pinned me to the wall in front of all of the others. How many men do you meet with, Unger? How many men do you meet with? You know, that was the question of the day. And I don't meet with too many men because I'm traveling around the world and I have another ministry. So how am I going to get out of this? So I thought for a minute and then I said, "Oh, about 80,000. And the whole audience just sighed, you know, and kind of leaned back in their chairs. And I said, "Every time the log goes out, I meet with 80,000 people for 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, every 3 months. That's my ministry. And the people who ship it, the people who set the type, the people who draw the pictures or the art, they're part of that too." Jim Morris. We're always looking for good stories. And by the way, if any of you have any good stories for us, let us know. That's how we found out about Jim Morris. One of the staff at headquarters here tipped us off that we should do a story on him. So we did. It appeared in the January 1970... for a log. Ray King wrote the story. And then just this last summer, I was in Coventry, England, and I was talking to Jan Pearson, who is the Swedish Navigator rep. And he says, you know, we have a judge here in Sweden who read that story, and he wants to give up his vacation and come to America and spend 2 weeks just living and drinking discipleship from Jim Morris. So they got on the telephone, they called long distance to Jim and asked if this judge could come. And I immediately left the meeting room and went in and cabled Ray. I says, Ray, we've got a hot story. Go back out to Kansas, cover this judge who is coming over there, and the story has just appeared in the October log, if you've seen or read the log yet. Multiplying disciples. Now this judge will go back because of the communications ministry, and he will be multiplying disciples in Sweden. What about the increasing of the word, the second qualification that Howie Hendricks gives? Well, 8 years ago when I started as the log editor, we had 40,000 readers in the log, and now we have about 90,000. We did a survey recently in which it was determined that almost everyone who gets the log passes it on to at least another person. And some of them, 2, 3, 4, up to 5 people, read the log. This means that we produce 90,000, but maybe 300 to 500,000 people read the log. So we're multiplying the word, increasing the word. You've probably all read in the past the Patty Paddenroe story, the heroin addict in London, who is now on the Navigator staff, doing quite well. That story appeared in the log, went to maybe 50,000 readers, but magazine after magazine wrote in asking us to reprint, if they could reprint that article. And it appeared in a book. And we figured out that over 1 million people have read of the life, the changed life of Patty. Increasing of the word. And an independent agency who studied the Navigator's log and its readership said that, I think they said that they've never seen a more loyal audience than we have. The magazine is read almost cover to cover. So the word is increased. And then thirdly, Howie said, does it release men to do what God has called them to do? Does the communications department release people to do what God has called them to do? Yes, it's two-pronged. One, the NAV staff around the world are free to do their ministry of evangelism, disciple-making, prayer, sharing the word, etc. Because we do the writing, the photography, and this sort of thing. That's what all of you are for, too. You lift the load for them. And then, of course, naturally, it releases our staff to do what God has called them to do, our 7 people here. So I think we meet the objectives of a New Testament organization. Now, very simply, what is it that we do in the communications department? We're downtown. We're isolated, in a sense, from you folks by 6 miles of geography because there's no room here at the inn. And therefore, we're not intimately conversing with you day to day, and you don't know what we do. Basically, we do 4 things. Image building. Lauren once said to me, he said he feels that the log is the basic image building vehicle for the Navigators. A lot of talk about the log here because right now, at this point in our growth, the log is the main focal point of the communications department, but it's going to grow in the next 5 years, 10 years, you watch. So we build an image. Who are the Navigators? They find out by, we have 90,000 people out there and maybe 500,000 people read a log. They all can't sit down and talk with a NAV rep every day. It's impossible. We only have 400 or 500 reps. But they can sit down with this magazine. So this is kind of like a rep coming into your home and spending a few minutes with you. And what they see in the magazine, or what they see in a slideshow, or what they see in a movie, is part of the image of the Navigators. It's how they know us. We once wrote to all of our overseas staff asking, and I sent them a copy of a log we had printed on very lightweight paper, not quite Kleenex, but almost, because it would save money to send it overseas. And they said, nope, they vetoed it. They said it reduces the image of what the navigators are. We don't want this, even though it would save money. But now the communications department is really the biggest department in the navs. You didn't know that. It's the biggest department in the navigators because all of you are part of it. We're just the seven people who give up full time to it. But you folks are constantly promoting an image of the navigators by what you say, by what you do, by how you explain it, by the personal individual contact. You are presenting the image too. So thanks for joining us in the communications department. Secondly, what do we do other than building image? We minister to people. Through the challenges, the inspirational articles, the devotional articles, through our personal lives as we talk with people, through the stories of changed lives. Thirdly, we inform. This is a big part of the communications program. Why do we call it communications? This is really a public relations department, or a publicity department, or a public information department. But I wanted to get away from those words which have some derogatory effects because of misuse over the years. And the new term coming in is communications. We communicate who we are, who the navigators are. The White House, it's called the White House Office of Communications now. They're news people. In Lausanne, in Switzerland, where we had the World Congress recently, the media was called the Communications Department. So we inform. We want people to pray about the navs. We want them to give to the navs. They want to know who the navigators are, and we want them to work for the navigators. In order for them to do those four things, they have to have information, such as Wing Luck told you about the Singapore people. If we tell them, then they know how to pray more intelligently. If we tell them, we know they know why they should give money, where it's going to go, and the effect it's had. They're curious because they love the organization, so we give them news about the organization. And then the big one is their warm body to recruit them to the organization. And fourthly, I think we have a little bit of work in giving, in soliciting money. It's indirect, but John Watts told me a story recently that there was a couple somewhere in, Midwest? Ohio, who had never met a navigator. They had never met anyone from the navigators, but for years they had been reading the log. And they decided to give 40% of their estate to the navs because of what they had read. And Rod feels that giving increases because of the effectiveness of the log. So, simply speaking, you've met the people. You know why and what we're doing. How we do it, it's obvious. We use the log. Now we have the global report in our department. We now have the prayer guide in our department. We use slideshows, movies, displays, and we hope eventually to get into video cassettes and into some of the newer areas of communications that exist. So that's us, and we're separated, as I said, by a little bit of geography, but forgive us for that. It's just a fact of life now because we're growing so fast, and we cannot do our job without all of you people. So we thank you very much for your help in our ministry.